The Good Fight Radio Show.
When it comes to being discipled, it is extremely important on to who is discipling you. And it's extremely important to make sure you're not falling down the wrong pitfalls, or as the Bible might say, the blind leading the blind into a ditch. So to discuss this very important topic of discipleship, and specifically how the devil has been discipling or using people to disciple others, is none other than the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Praise God, Chad. Important subject, because most everybody's being discipled. So who are you allowing to disciple you? That's the question.
I think it's a really good question, because for so many people right now, Joe, when it comes to what we're going to be talking about, and you guys are seeing the title there of this episode, and it is The Devil's Disciples. And there was a reason we picked that out as the title for this show. We had talked about this for a couple of weeks, especially Joe, and this is the heartbreaking thing. And if you didn't know, this is a special live show that we're doing with you guys. And Joe, the thing that made me so sad was watching the most recent Super Bowl video that that we came out with here at Good Fight Ministries regarding Usher. And I think a lot of people were actually really surprised about how Usher was discipled and so forth. And it was sad to watch so much of the material that you had exposed that, to be honest with you, I'm just speaking candidly here. It is a live show. Joe, when we were looking at the different Super Bowls, and this has been a pagan, satanic ritual for how many years now? Yeah. I mean, started out with marching bands, then you got We Are the World there with Michael Jackson, and then all of a sudden, after that, you know, whether it's Janet Jackson having her shirt ripped off, or whether after that it was Madonna who came out with her Egyptian stylized halftime performance, or then the bombshell one with Beyonce. And now the Super Bowl is like the main act that everyone wants to see. But when we were talking about it this year, like, hey, who's the performer? When it was Usher, it was like, oh, it's no big deal. Usher, you know, he's provocative. He's
promiscuous, not good, but
has herpes, all that stuff, you know, giving that out. But you know, so people are like, well, what are you going to expose? But man, it was even a surprise to me, all the things that were found out. And so it is important to bring that up. And I want to, Joe, and we're going to be talking about this, and we have a few clips for you, and some of them are from that, and then some other things that we've done as well. And you might have seen all of the faces that we placed on there. None of them are there on accident. The four faces that you see, P. Diddy, Usher, Justin Bieber, and T.D. Jakes, are all because they're all being discipled one way or the other, or even one of them is kind of doing discipling while also being discipled, and we're going to get into that. But Joe, before we can let out some, I guess, of the Easter egg, so to speak, not that we believe in Easter eggs, but let out some of those that information, I just want them to hear this clip, because some people may not realize just how young Usher was when P. Diddy ultimately got his fangs in on
him. And this is from our video, Did Usher Sell His Soul for the Super Bowl? Which we obviously don't believe. He just recently sold his soul, but it goes way back. You'd have to see the video. And if you haven't seen it, you need to check it out and get out of this to see it. I think in the first day, 24 hours, it had almost 90,000 and so forth, and a lot of views, which is good. But we want it to go more viral than it has, because it's really eye-popping. I was included. I was like, yeah, he's just promiscuous and stuff like that. It's bad. But, you know, what? You know, and we prayed about it and sought the Lord. And before you know it, man, I was like, okay, Lord, you're showing me a lot of stuff, man, that, and it is a discipleship, which is kind of interesting timing. But there's a discipleship going on in Satan's kingdom, where they're mentoring these young kids, and it's really heartbreaking what they're doing to these kids.
And it's crazy, Joe, because you guys are going to hear it from them, something we've been warning about, or you've been warning a lot longer than me, but something we've been warning about here at Good Fight Ministries for quite a while. And if you don't believe that people are being grabbed, even from their households, and being mentored, and to, you know, push promiscuity and wickedness, well, you can hear it from them.
In fact, when one takes a deeper dive into Combs or Puff Daddy or Diddy, as he is called, one sees that forfeiting one's soul to Satan is not worth it. Usher was groomed from literally being a choir boy who sang at his church for Jesus to a member of Puff Daddy's so-called bad boys under the perverse tutelage of his mentor, Puff Daddy Combs. Tragically, Usher's mom sent him to live in the home of one of the most notorious and scandalous rappers in the world, Sean Puffy Combs, when he was only 14 years of age. She received a weekly check from Combs and was aware that he lived the rapper lifestyle, but was most likely unaware of the sexual scandals that he would come to be known for in the succumbing years.
See, Joe, I think it's really great that hopefully people are hearing this and understanding just how young he was when he was handed over. And we're going to play a clip a little bit later. And I have to be honest, when I watched this and, you know, this video just came out on Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, but it was uploading on our channel. And Josh, who's the editor, and he's working on stuff right now, right in the office behind us. When he sent it to me and I watched it, the clip we're going to see here in a little bit, that really stuck out to me. And that was what I think our discussion, like, we really want to talk about discipleship, not only from the enemy's perspective, but what the Bible actually says about discipleship. But we wanted to talk about it because it honestly just, it penetrated my heart in the sense that, man, this is wickedness. This is grotesque. Mm-hmm. And then, Joe, some of the stuff that you exposed regarding some of the voodoo and witchcraft and so forth, that stuff that I think people had no idea, a lot of people had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, we show an interview with Mark Curry, and I was surprised that Christians haven't been showing this, because this has been out for some time. And the funny thing is, I started searching my records for my update, because I'm updating this Older Souls Rock and Roll, and there's a lot of stuff I've been putting out for years that's just under wraps. And I just did a P. Diddy search in my search engine for my documents, and did P. Diddy, you know, Sean Puff Combs, who you saw up there, all of a sudden I saw this whole section I had done on him that I'd forgotten until I started reading. I'm like, that's right. I remember this research. I thought, man, that's right. There's this videotape of Mark Curry being interviewed about his book called The Devil's Disciples, which is so crazy, because I told Tony, I go, Tony, why don't you just put, you know, Puff Daddy with, you know, strings, and, you know, Usher as his puppet. We could have put, you know, Bieber there too as his little puppet, as just symbolic of the devil and so forth. Not knowing, because I'd only seen the interview. I didn't actually ever get the book. Find out later that that's similar to what they did with the book on The Devil's Disciples. And Tony and I were tripping out that it was similar to what he came up with. But it's very interesting, Chad, because I thought, man, this video clip of Mark Curry being interviewed, and the guy reads out of his book that, hey, you're saying here. By the way, Mark Curry was a collaborator with part of, you know, Bad Boys Records with Combs. And it's interesting because he did some of the songs, you know, the song for Godzilla, which, by the way, Jimmy Page was, you know, sampled in there, and he's in that video for the movie. A couple songs he had written for Sean Combs. And he came out and said, he just blew the whistle, basically on his abuse, but also stating that these executives, white executives and lawyers over Combs, were teaching him from early on how to do these rituals, these occult, you know, rituals, these voodoo rituals over those he was mentoring, to ensure their success as musicians. And boy, man, Usher comes in, and, you know, eventually Usher, you know, not to get all the details, because we'll just give you some of the details, they get mentored by him, and they become hit factories, Chad. And their lives also get pretty messed up, you know, when you realize the aftermath of what's going on in their lives personally on different levels. But it's very real. It's a discipleship program where Satan is using people to basically usher in other people to disciple them. And he doesn't have to use that, but he does use that because it's very effective. And he always counterfeits the things that God does, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, and the Bible says, you know, do not be drunk with wine, which causes dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that just is one text of many others that show that over and over again, God can have a blessing, and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but here's Satan's counterfeit. Just get drunk, or whatever it may be. And sadly enough, when it comes to Usher, you know, it's so interesting the way that this all works out, because Usher was, like, I guess you would say, a soundtrack to so much of, I guess, the school dances, you know, when I was in junior high and high school and so forth. And honestly, I think most people had no idea what the lyrics even were saying, you know. But you start meditating on it, just as the word tells us. You can meditate on the word day and night and be like the tree planted against the water that bears fruit in its season, and that all that you do, you prosper. Or you could be the one that sits in the seat of scoffers, and you meditate on the things of this world. And honestly, for us, under the new covenant, meditating, singing, and glorifying the things that nailed Jesus to the cross, it's a heartbreaking thing. And, you know, Joe, we're watching this whole thing go down, and you're seeing how he was picked up and discipled by P. Diddy, and you're seeing that, And you're like, wow, this is so horrible. How could they do this? And then you see the promiscuity, and you see at the Super Bowl, he's sitting there, you know, with Alicia Keys, who's a married woman, hugging up on her. Mm-hmm. I got to say, if that was my wife, we'd have a big problem. You know, this guy eventually becomes shirtless, you know, grabbing himself all over. I mean, this stuff is just sick. And who would sit there and think like, oh, you know what? All this is going on. Promiscuity is just, you know, lambasted. He's, you know, getting in trouble and getting lawsuits for his own sexual, you know, exploits and so forth. And just think, oh, yeah, man, it's just, it just happens to be the very things that's directly against the word of God. Yeah. All of these things are just directly against the word of God. And they just happen to be
And his big song, yeah, I mean, what's that about?
There
I mean,
it is.
He's singing about, you know, I and this gal, and she's a seductress, and she's a woman in the streets, you know, like a street woman. And then he says, but she's a freak in bed. And it's about, you know, just marital, it's about sexual promiscuity. And this is a song that's done, that's sang, and I mean, it was just done. We just did a thing on the halftime show at a church.
That'll be out next week, yeah.
You know, you guys got to check out, because that stuff's being glorified by churches, so-called. So, yeah, it's really heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking, and I even saw believers online talking about it. It reminded me of when Bruno Mars did the halftime show, and the guy, the singer from Mercy Me and Chris Tomlin talking about how great was that performance as they mocked marriage and once again promiscuity and so forth. And then you have this again. Oh, this reminds me of when I was a child. And how quickly a song can do that, right?
Yeah.
How quickly a song that you were meditating on when you were a non-believer can come into your head, and instead of looking at it and be like, man, I can't believe I used to listen to that, you go, oh, that was such a great memory.
Yeah, it's important, Chad, that people realize that, you guys realize that, we realize that, man, we belong to God if we're Christians, you know? We're bought with a price. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. Paul says, based on the grace, the mercy of God that you've been saved by, which he talks about for the first 11 chapters of Romans, he says, based on that mercy, he says, offer up your bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, and don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And we're supposed to put our lives on the altar. And what's happened is when the first humans, Adam, Eve, when the deception took place, what happens is the body is ruled by the spirit, but there's a satanic inversion where that's flipped, where now the body rules over the spirit. And the Bible warns about that a man given over to anger or whatever is like an unwalled city. And we're not supposed to allow our body to rule our spirit. We're supposed to make our body subservient to the Holy Spirit, to God. And that's why Paul says, I beat my body down. So after I preach the gospel to others, I myself would not be rejected by God, right? In 1 Corinthians 9:27. And that's huge, because as Christians, you want to make sure that your body is your servant, and that you are not just filled with lust. And that's what is going on with the music. It's feeling orientated. So how many of us are putting our feelings, even though we know it's contrary to God's will, the words that are being sang and so forth, above God's word and his truth? We ought not be doing that, because that grieves the Spirit of God.
Amen. And if there's anything that can show you how hideous and how gross it is, and sadly enough, people are actually in misery, and you're singing to it, and you're giving money to it, and you're going to concerts for it, I think this clip showcases that so well. And if I'm being honest, when it comes to doing a second episode on this, I think this is the one that's like, we had to talk about this more than just once, because please watch this clip with P. Diddy, also alongside Justin Bieber, as they talk about, hey, just like when, guess what? I was discipling Mr. Usher there. Check this out.
Yeah, so as soon as you turn 16, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you rock this every time you
come to
L.A. Yeah, it'll be yours. So every time you come to L.A., it's a little dusty, but you know, come get the front shot of this.
Man. Okay. All right, so I'm going to be driving this next year.
Yeah, when you get 16, the keys is yours. When you, you know, when you get 16, you're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah.
All right.
And then when you get 18, you get the house. You get the mansion.
Okay, I get the mansion.
Here. You know, where we hanging out and what we doing, we can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. You know, I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher.
I'm signed to Usher.
I had legal guardianship of Usher when you know, he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. We going to go full, buck full crazy.
We're going crazy.
Crazy.
I'm taking this out tonight.
What you want to do? What you want to do over the next 48 hours?
48 hours. Let's go. Let's just go get some girls. Let's go hang out some girls.
A man after my heart. That's what I'm talking about.
I started valuing the wrong things in this business because there was things dangling in front of me. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. There was a time where I was sipping lean. I was popping pills. I was doing Molly, shrooms, everything.
I decided to stop because I felt like I was dying. My security and stuff were coming into the room at night to check my pulse. Like, people don't know how serious it got. Like, it was legit crazy scary. I was waking up in the morning, and the first thing I was doing is popping pills and smoking a blunt and starting my day.
What's up, man? You good?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, young brother, everything's good? Selling out arenas and everything? Yeah. Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out.
Well, I mean, you try to get in contact with me, through all my, partners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for me being that young and being in the industry and not knowing where to turn and everyone, telling me they love me and, just turn their back on you in a second. But just protecting those moments because people take for granted encounters and
You know what's sad, Joe, is many people don't even realize that Justin Bieber's mom, they're from Canada, and she tried to get him involved with a pastor, and it was Judah Smith, who, by the way, also not a sound teacher. But then he ended up getting intertwined with Carl Lentz from Hillsong. And I'm bringing this up because you have the machine of Hollywood, Tinseltown, the record labels, also New York, obviously, all of this using and abusing these young people and continuing. And it's the same thing that happens when a child is taken advantage of. Eventually, a lot of times, sadly enough, that child then takes advantage as well of someone else at a young age. And you see this kind of going on, but then kind of spit out a little bit. He wanted to get baptized. They did it in a bathtub. Carl Lentz gets involved. And then Carl Lentz, this is supposed to be some discipleship that he's getting, right? So even from that, and I'm not saying he's not culpable for things that he's done. I'm not trying to say that. But it is hard to watch that, see how disgusting that is, and then see that he's with Carl Lentz. And the same sort of behavior, because he was still being used by him. He's out there in another country taking shots, shirtless, walking around half naked with this guy who's, by the way, stepping out of the bounds of marriage as well. And
adultery, right?
It is just disgusting and heartbreaking, and it's like out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
And it just shows you the dangers of not only this disgusting machine of celebrity and money and power and fame and sexual promiscuity and influence, but then also the shame of a false teacher and the kind of detrimental effects that they can have on people. It breaks my heart.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
Because you would see pictures of him and Lentz getting slamming down shots at the bar, we knew with Lentz pretty early on, he's strutting what looked like a John Lennon Imagine shirt around as a Christian pastor. The song Imagine is, by John Lennon, who he said he put his political views across before, but they never, teary from watching that clip, man. Your heart just breaks. And yeah, Justin's culpable when he hits a certain age, and he's responsible now to speak the truth and so forth and turn to blow the whistle. But your heart breaks because of the deception that he was under, and then more people are under that deception. But Lentz, the song Imagine, imagine there's no heaven above us, below us, and above us only sky, right? And below us, no hell. It's going to be a brotherhood of man, and all the people living together as one. That's that new world order where you jettison God. And when I first saw him wearing that shirt, I was like, I already know there's some problems with this guy, but that was early on. Then all of a sudden he's getting, appears to be getting drunk with, the days were numbered, and then all the scandals came out. And now his name is analogous with scandals, And
so he's Hillsong altogether, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Granted, they have an edifice of...
That's right.
They were built upon a dad who was,
I think pedophilia.
Yeah, you got it. And Joe, it breaks your heart because you do want to see these people come to know Christ. And one of the sad things is what we're talking about right now when it comes to the devil's disciples. I mean, these false teachers, Joe, this is what the Bible says. Yep. You know, these false teachers whose God is their belly, ultimately. And you watch them, and we could talk about Carl Lentz, we could talk about Hillsong, and we could talk about the idea of wanting fame and fortune. And Carl Lentz, right from the get-go, before he even was fully connected to Hillsong, he was known as this pastor in Virginia Beach that, you know, he was really cool because he'd come up and he'd play Mims and Lady Gaga in, you know, and he would roll up in his Harley and stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with Harleys. The Davidson family actually started that from my side. But just this idea of we want to look so much like the world, we want to be just like them. And it is so sad that it's like you have an opportunity to actually disciple somebody and raise them up in the Lord. And then you have this whole thing that one of the guys that is in our image there is T.D. Jakes. And we probably should have Carl Lentz in there too. I forgot we were going to be talking about him. But Joe, with T.D. Jakes, this is somebody who is what is known as a modalist. This is somebody who very clearly, when it comes to the things he teaches, and all the prosperity gospel, he has also discipled people like Stephen Furtick or another, who is another false teacher, and that's right, others as well. This is somebody that handed the pulpit over to his daughter and quoted the quote of John the Baptist regarding Jesus.
Yeah, being greater. Yeah.
Being greater. I mean, we could kind of go on with all of the heresy that is coming from the prosperity gospel and so forth of T.D. Jakes. But then the controversy that we covered this on a recent 511 News episode where we talked about Cat Williams' interview when he was sitting down with Shannon Sharp. And he exposed a lot of different people about some of the things they were into and so forth. And T.D. Jakes got brought up in that. And not only did T.D. Jakes get brought up in that, but people have, not just Cat Williams, but a lot of people wondered, why is this guy friends with Diddy? Why is this guy at P. Diddy parties? He's supposed to be a pastor. And the stuff that goes on at P. Diddy parties, it's weird even saying it. And by the way, Lecrae even admitted to going to some of those things, not just
the world. The world condemns those parties as being just filthy.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point that you just made. The world even condemns this stuff. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
These guys are hanging out, and it's not like, oh, they're sharing the gospel. This is what's disgusting, Joe, and it bothers me so much when we're looking at this. It's one thing to say, hey, look, this is somebody who is sharing the gospel with someone. We would go out on the streets, and we have gone on the streets, and we do go out on the streets, and we would love to meet people where they're at and share the gospel
Amen,
with them.
Bro.
I'm not going to hang out at a P. Diddy party that when Usher was asked, somebody who was intimately there, who was under his guardianship at age 14, when Usher was asked on Howard Stern whether or not he would allow his own children to be there, what did he say, Joe? Actually, we can't say it because he cursed to say,
but
never.
But basically, absolutely not.
Yeah. Anathema. No, never. May
Although
never
he
be,
did deliver Bieber to pity.
But he did.
That's sad.
He did. And this is a
After
sad reality that we see this stuff going on. But Joe, you see this and you see someone being discipled by T.D. Jakes or discipling T.D. Jakes, it looks like, into the party world. And everyone knows, from the world standpoint, everyone, what goes on at those parties. What on earth is a pastor doing there? And I'm saying this because people are like, well, what about this? People say this about this guy. Even if this is just the surface level, we don't got to get into we could talk about him having a flamboyantly homosexual-looking man dancing in front of him, and he has his hand in his pocket, and we have the video of that, and it's very awkward as they're sitting there, and it looks really weird with his smiley face.
Talking about T.D. Jakes,
it looks about, I mean, as homosexual as you can be, and he's sitting there with his hand in his pocket. We could talk about his terrible apology where he doesn't really apologize, and when he does, he's like, well, it doesn't matter. I guess it wouldn't be no big deal.
Yeah, he basically says, hey, you get forgiveness. I'm like, dude, if you didn't do anything wrong, why are you talking about getting forgiveness for what happened? You know?
Amen.
But there's a problem there, I think.
And I think there's a problem there, too, with not recognizing if you did do these things that you're no longer above reproach, you no longer have a good standing with the outside community, you are no longer somebody who is fit for a pulpit. And not that I think he ever was, because the Bible says in Titus 1, to be a pastor, to be an elder appointed according to Scripture, you have to teach sound doctrine.
That's right.
When you teach modalism or oneness Pentecostalism or the prosperity gospel or any of these other doctrines, guess what? You are not fit for the pulpit. And so you're a false teacher anyways. But Joe, this is the kind of discipling that is going on. So yeah. We'd say the devil's disciples, T.D. Jakes is very much involved with that.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at the industry, and we could spend over an hour just showing clips from They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, where we show band leaders and so forth, you know, talking about how we can get, you know, or Garth Brooks even in country, I could get somebody to touch the hot lights and burn themselves because my power over them during music. Or we have, you know, Insane Clown Posse talking about how they're encouraging young people. We're showing that to go and rob something while you're still young, you know, and we've got control of your kids, you know, all that kinds of stuff. They know they're influencing our children, and there's a discipleship going on. And what's interesting, when you look at the mentorship that P. Diddy had over, for instance, Usher, according to Mark Curry, doing these rituals, you know. Chad, I didn't put it in the video because I couldn't find the lady, and I wanted to make sure, you know, I couldn't really document it for sure who this lady is, but her testimony's been on the internet for some time. But she talks about how her and two of her friends, and she'd been in the industry at that point for about 13 years, were with P. Diddy. And they did one of those little voodoo ritual deals, and they went into a room, and she was young, she said, at the time, and of course she wanted power. And she said, as they started doing these rituals, man, she said it got incredibly cold, even though it wasn't cold before that, and she panicked. And she started, like, she didn't know God, but she just said, I wasn't born again yet. So I just started to cry, God, help me. And she said, all of a sudden, P.D. looked at me and said, get out. And she said she left the room, and she went home. And she said when she got home, her room got cold. And then she said she felt pressure. She became paralyzed. She became paralyzed. She goes, what is going on? She felt pressure on her arms. And when she finally got out, she cried out to God. And she said there were bruises on her arms. And she says, then she became born again. She turned to Jesus. And I thought, I can't verify that story 100%. But when I read that, I thought, isn't that interesting? Because that's been out for years. That's a lot what Mark Curry was saying, you know? So they're praying demonic prayers over each other. They're doing these rituals. They're indoctrinating them with the lies of Satan. As Christians, we're supposed to be doing the opposite. We're supposed to be teaching young people how to pray. We're supposed to be teaching them the word of God. We're supposed to be investing time in young people. And it blows me away, man. I see P. Diddy doing this, reaching out to young people, imparting his life into them for the devil. It's like, well, we as Christians do for God what the devil's disciples are doing for Satan? We're talking about eternity. We need to be discipling young people. We need to be pouring our lives into them. And praise the Lord. This is interesting timing, Chad, because I had no idea what I was going to come up with when I was working on the Usher video. I thought, man, this is all about, you know, him mentoring these guys, discipling each other and so forth. And Chad's book just came out called Wrestling with Discipleship, man. And I thought, wow, you know, and this is a great book. And Chad's a humble guy, so he probably would not lift this up and say, hey, get my book. Although I think he will, because he knows it's an important book. He wants you to grow in Christ. But check that out, because this book right here, it's a very easy read. It's not very long, but it packs a punch. And Chad's, you know, a wrestling coach right now, and he teaches wrestling. And I love it, Chad, because each chapter, you begin with a wrestling analogy from your life or somebody else's, but usually your own. That's so apropos for each chapter. And I thought, man, this is the book I want to get in the hands of many, many people. It's an amazing book on discipleship. So there's many different ways you could disciple people, get them in the Word, spend time with them, pray for them. But this will help you learn how to disciple people, learn how to turn them to Jesus, learn how to encourage them in the faith. And you'll be encouraged reading it, because you'll be reading about different aspects of what we're supposed to be as disciples. So Chad, I know we're talking about the devil's disciples, but we should also talk about something more important, which is, and this should interest all of us as Christians more than what we've been talking about, is how do we make disciples? And why don't you tell us a little bit about this book?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and Joe, I was so encouraged a few years ago, and we're going to be back out there. And so this kind of parallels with what we have going on. But we have been doing, this will be our third annual East Coast Men's Retreat. And on the East Coast, we'll be out there in March. And I'll have Tony on the comments, put a link in the chat here. But one of the things I was just studying a lot is discipleship. And not just, I mean, obviously we've done discipleship. You have discipled me and I've discipled others. And I've told people this a lot. And if you guys are watching this, you're part of Good Fight Ministries at all. Or, you know, if you're on our Patreon channel or so forth, maybe you guys have heard me tell this story. But I came on, and it's so funny because it's time of the Super Bowl. This is when I actually came a part of Good Fight Ministries in terms of actually serving on the ministry team here. And that was because I was answering comments and so forth on the Good Fight Ministries channel because couldn't even keep up because it crashed our site with the Beyonce video when you came out with it originally. And what was cool was I was answering them, but at the time, my wife and I got married and we moved in to the house with Joe because we got pregnant on our honeymoon. And so when we came back, she was like, hey, I'd love to be able, we had a little really bad apartment she wasn't a big fan of, but she was like, hey, maybe we can move in with them. And what was a blessing to me, and it all makes sense with discipleship, was a blessing to me is when I came and moved in with you guys, I'm not much of a sleeper. I don't sleep a lot. I wake up very early and I work full time. I was working full time in a secular job at the time. And I'd get up, you'd be up at the same time reading, getting your messages ready or working on something. And then I would read my word and then go to work. And you were always praying for people. It was just something that this was your life. And then when the opportunity to be more full time in ministry came, it was like, well, full time ministry is just living, you know, like all the time in ministry. That makes sense to me. Like, it's not like, oh, I put on this face where I'm counseling someone or someone has a Bible question. So from 9 to 5, I can cover those Bible questions. No, it's just, this is life. This is what we do.
Amen.
And so that encouraged me. And I said, you know, if that's what ministry is, then I can do that. If it's 24/7, always real, and I saw that in your life. And it was interesting when I started studying discipleship, one of the terminologies that's used in the time, right before the time of Jesus, actually, when it comes to actually sharing and being discipled, is the idea of getting dusty from the person who's discipling you. And the reason for this was for a three-pronged approach to how the Jews, at the time of Jesus and before him, after Alexander the Great had conquered so much of the known world so fast, everything was becoming Hellenized. And so what—
The Greek influence on Jewish culture. The Greek influence
on Jewish culture. So what were they going to do? And I studied this because I wanted to teach on discipleship when we went out to the East Coast to share that trip. And what I studied was this three-pronged approach when they were very young in Bet Sefer. What they would do is they would teach them the Torah. And a lot of it would have to do with rhymes and so forth. And then they would move on.
Like rap music? But it wasn't rap music. But the enemies use those tools, rhymes.
100%. They'd use those rhymes and express to people the truth of God's word to them when they're at a very young age. Then as they moved up in age, then the next thing they would do was Bet Midrash, and they would learn how to apply these things. Yeah. They would learn, get a deeper. And then if they wanted to continue in that study, they would find themselves a discipler, somebody who would disciple them. And that was Bet Talmid. And they would be taught that way. And it's kind of interesting. There's a text in scripture that people will point to and they'll say, oh, they'll think it's a soteriological statement when Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Yeah. Because the practice at that time when you would go to be discipled would be similar to Paul. When Paul went to be discipled by Gamaliel, he went to go do so. And that, first of all, you have to be wealthy to be able to do that and to be discipled that way. And when you went to do that, well, guess what? You went and chose who to be discipled by. Jesus went and chose.
That's right, after praying all night.
Amen. After praying all night, after being tempted, according to Mark, right after the temptation, after being driven out to the wilderness and so forth. And so I started to realize, wait a second, they lived and breathed with Jesus. The idea of discipleship so often for so many people is pretty much a video and a video series of this and a whatever. And I'm like, man, there needs to be this idea of getting dusty and actually being involved in the people discipling you's life. And so that was kind of, I guess, the impetus for this. And I have a passion for it. And I've taught wrestlers and praise God, I've been coaching wrestling now for 15 years. And like you said, I'm here at the office. This is a live stream, so I can say this. I'm going to be getting into my car and driving 3 hours away because one of our guys qualified for what's called the Masters Tournament. And we're going to try to get him all the way to the state finals. So I'm very involved in wrestling, but that wrestling has always poured in to bringing them to Christ. Joe, you have alongside have baptized a number of wrestlers, some of the people that volunteer here, even Tommy back there who's working
the camera. We're seeing amazing fruit, man. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Tommy was a different reverse one. He was a kid in the youth group who then came out and wrestled for me, and I have another young man.
He was disciple since he was a baby in this church.
Amen, amen.
Came out good, though. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, he's doing awesome. He's doing awesome.
Same with Josh.
and it's been a blessing to me. So My Heart's Desire, and Joe, there's chapter after chapter, and Joe actually wrote one of the chapters as well. Chapter after chapter, whether it's how do you disciple through the fear of the Lord, how do you disciple through the Word of God, how do you disciple, which is my favorite, Joe, and it's the way that you discipled me, which is by sharing the gospel, by taking them out and sharing the gospel.
We threw you in the water, bro.
And I think that's important. And when people are asking for ways to apply discipleship, plenty of people have a ton of books and of this and of that. There is a very practical lesson on discipling that comes right from the Word of God.
Philippians.
And from Philippians, amen. And there is a very practical level of discipleship that when you take someone out and you start sharing the gospel out on the streets, I'm telling you, if you want to microwave someone's faith, go out and share the gospel on the streets. That's what that's what you did with me. I was a new believer, right? I was barely, you know, what, wet behind the ears or whatever they say.
I knew you were going to swim though, bro.
And exactly. And guess what? You said, let's go out and show the gospel. Was I nervous?
I think I just met you when I said you came to the church a few times ago.
Getting to know me.
We're going to the streets. You're coming with us.
Yeah, amen. And we went out, and then the first thing, it was like Acts 4:20 in my life.
Yeah.
I can't help but speak of the things I've seen and heard. I cannot help but tell the gospel to other people. And so that really, this is, you know, 15 years, which is on January 19th, 2009 is when I gave my life to Christ after watching They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. I have my whole testimony in chapter 2 of the book. But I gave my life to Christ, and immediately I was discipled. And then I think one of the biggest problems is people think that discipleship is like this next level Christian where you get saved. Mm-hmm. And then if you get really edified and you start your sanctification process, eventually maybe you can get to a disciple. But it actually, it seems like a lot of times they're so close that they're almost synonyms. I'm not saying entirely synonyms, but they're almost synonyms in the sense that even the word Christian, I think it's a great synonym, because when we read the word Christian, it's only used, you know, three times in the New Testament, maybe four, but not by name in James, but when it talks about the holy name. But when you look at Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says that the disciples were first called Christians
in Antioch. Yeah.
So it's very important to me. And I think making disciples is the most important thing when it comes to what the church should be doing. And so for the first book that I got to write alongside of you, because he writes a chapter in this as well, what better than to write about the thing I'm most passionate about, which is making disciples.
And praise God. It's just a wealth of beautiful information in this book. And if you've got books on discipleship, I think you need this in your collection. I think you'll be blown away. If you don't have a book on discipleship, man, you should probably get one. And this one, I think, would really, really bless you. And Chad, we're supposed to be examples. We're supposed to be, the Greek word, one of the Greek words used for being an example that we're called to be is like a tracing paper in the first century. And we're supposed to live lives where people, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But another one interesting is the word meme that we use to talk about memes in social media. There's all these memes. That comes from the Greek word that's translated example in the New Testament. We're supposed to be living memes. We're supposed to be living letters. So I had no idea until you just said that. You know I discipled you in different ways, but I had no idea you were looking so close to my life when you're living with me. But that's my life. My wife sees it. My kids see it. I disciple all of them. People say to me sometimes, they still say it to me, I'll be after the fellowship, you know, fellowship with people. I'll be doing all kinds of things with my brothers and sisters all the time. And they'll say, if they're newer to the church, they'll be like, it's kind of a trip because I went to this church, but you actually hang out with people in the church. You do things with them and you hang out afterwards. And I'm still dumbfounded by that, because I'm like, I say, you know what? Before I was a pastor, I was always fellowshiping with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I was always encouraging them and being encouraged. Why becoming a pastor would I stop doing that? Doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, you should be doing even more, I would imagine, you know? So I think that's very important that we're discipling people and we're living our lives. And that's what I love about this book, because it's very hands-on discipleship, you know? And at the same time, there's the intellectual aspect of it where it gives you a grasp from the scriptural standpoint as to the biblical truth behind discipleship, but it's also very, very practical. So I praise God, Chad. You did an amazing job on this. And even the cover, man. Cover's inspiring, man. And it's really interesting because Chad goes through Jacob here and how he's broken before God so he can lean on God more. And I thought, what interesting timing, Chad. You could barely move your neck before we, when we did our earlier show this morning. A poor Chad, man, he could barely move his head, and God's loosened it up. But God lets us go through things. Amen. I'm sure you've been crying out to him more through this. I thought, isn't it interesting? Because that this book starts off with, you know, Jacob getting broken. You know, we're getting, not that God hurt your neck, you know. That probably happened to wrestling or grappling, right?
Yeah.
But God allows us to go through things to seek him more. And I love that this book captures many of the nuances of discipleship.
You know, Joe, it's kind of funny because the first chapter, it's called Therefore I Wrestle. And as Joe mentioned, it is about Jacob and getting his name Israel. And I originally, the first time was from a message. It's so funny how this all works out, but we had somebody who has gone to be with the Lord now, but he said, hey, Chad, you're coaching wrestling, and I would love to pay for any wrestler that wants to go. So we brought 14 wrestlers to our men's retreat.
Yeah,
and remember that. It was amazing. Two of them were Muslim. One of them came to Christ. And it was so awesome because when we did that, Joe and them kind of made a lot of their messages kind of point towards that direction. And it was in that message where you expressed the truth that it was the God of Jacob, which we call now, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that prior to that wrestling match with God, because he said he saw God face to face and yet lived, prior to that wrestling match, when he would refer to God, it was always in the God of my father.
Yeah.
The God of my father, that's Abraham. Right. But it's
good
after
memory,
that,
man. See, he's such a great disciple.
And it was after that that he even names that place, you know?
Yeah.
And when he does, he recognizes that he is the God of Jacob.
Yeah.
As well, the God of Israel is actually what he calls it.
Right.
And
which means governed by God or prince with God or...
Amen.
Yeah.
And so that stuck with me so much that I was like, man, this has to be my first chapter, because
praise
I,
God.
And Tony is in the chat, and hopefully he'll be working on all of the assignments I gave him for our new, some of the new gear. A lot of it will be based on that principle of wrestling for God. And it has this book, you'd be like, oh, is it all about wrestling? I just use those metaphors, but it's really about any sort of thing you have in life. And most importantly, the scriptures. And so that's important. And Joe, one of the chapters has to do with something we're talking about here, because I think, sadly enough, read books on discipleship, watched everything I could, read papers on discipleship from colleges, whatever it may be. And one thing that I saw lacking, same thing we see all the time, is that when it comes to spiritual warfare, it gets pushed to the side.
Shockingly.
It gets pushed to the side. And there's an entire chapter on knowing your enemy.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know your enemy, what are you going to do? And what's so interesting is that the early church got this. And there is an entire chapter on what the early church thought of as discipleship. But what is very interesting is you're watching a show that is about the devil's disciples. But we don't want to just sit there and talk about all the wicked things that the enemy's doing and not give a plan.
Amen.
And not have like, wait, but there's a plan to get away from this. And Joe, maybe you could speak to this too for the audience as well, because we're talking about a book on discipleship, but so many people don't even recognize they're in a spiritual battle. And it's really interesting because there's a verse in the Bible that warns about not recognizing the battle that you're actually in.
Yeah, the very, the classic text on spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he says, why, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And then a few different times he says to be strong in the Lord and so forth, right? But we are in this wrestling match with dark cosmic forces that we have no chance against in our own selves. I mean, we'd just, be just destroyed by Satan and his powers if God allowed it to happen. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in us, the Lord God, than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, who could be against us? And that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And we can do all things through, Christ who strengthens us. And more, there's so many scriptures like that. And Chad, without the Lord, we're dead. We're dead meat, right? But with the Lord, Satan's dead meat, man. He can't overcome us. God allows his, deceptions to run their course. And he's sowing seeds and he's building the kingdom of chaff, which will be destroyed, but God's kingdom is being sown through the word of God, and we're bringing the sheaves in, the harvest of wheat into God's kingdom. And And I love the whole concept of discipleship because it's about, you know, pouring your life into other people. And I try to do that as I'm doing now, and Chad and I are doing now through these episodes, whether it's 5-11 or Good Fight, our Good Fight program, or it's the teaching I do on Wednesdays and Sundays, the sermons that we're doing. We do this because, or the street witnessing, or the Bible studies that we have, and Chad's Tuesday night high school. We got all kinds of things going on. Wednesday night Bible study for the young kids as well. We're constantly discipling. But that's because, you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples, you know? He said, you know, and I love what he said. He encourages us to disciple people. And, you know, before he ascended up to the Father, he said something very interesting, because he knew they're going to be going into pagan territories where there would be spiritual warfare, where they would be just doomed without him. So before he tells them to go and make disciples, in verses 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 28, and I didn't know you were going to mention this, Chad, but it's a good thing to talk about for a moment, because before he does that, he says, all power in heaven and earth, verse 18, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All belongs to Jesus ultimately. And then he says, go into all the, you know, the world and preach the gospel to all nations, and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Communicating what I've taught you, you teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then like a bookmark, verse 18, which all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, man. He is the one who commissions us. He is the one that enables us. He is the one that empowers us. Chad, he saved us by his grace through the cross, mm-hmm. through his death on the cross and paying for our sins and the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he empowers us for service by the power of the Holy Spirit to go into the world and be these witnesses and to make disciples. And every Christian is a disciple. Every disciple is a Christian, because as Chad said, it's not like an option later. Oh, maybe I want to follow Christ. You know, I can, I can reject him as my Lord and just accept him. No, the Bible says when Jesus says, come and follow me, as a disciple, he says, if you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose it, you'll save it. He's talking about salvation. So when you're born again, that's the first step of putting your faith in Christ, the first steps of following him. So we encourage, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ to make sure they're going forward. And as Jesus taught his disciples, and he told them to make disciples, what did Paul say in 2 Timothy 2:2? He said to Timothy, what I've communicated to you and shared with you to make you a disciple, you share with faithful men. That they may share with others. So this is the way God does his deal. It's just interesting with the devil's disciples that we've been showing, Satan tries to mimic that, and we can wring our hands and say, look what is going on here. It's terrible, and it is terrible. But guess what? We need to make sure we're doing our job and being aware that we're not allowing our children, if you have them, our loved ones, to be discipled by the world, and that we are part of the solution, discipling people for Jesus.
Amen. And, you know, Joe, we have our young adult group that meets at our house, and, you know, we've had a number of, you know, young men and women who, you know, come to Christ, or, you know, they walk in, and just a blessing. And I was just talking to a girl, and this is something, and it comes kind of off the thought of something that Walter Martin said, you know, will you do for the truth what the cults do for a lie?
Yeah.
And I was so sad, because we had a brother in Christ who was trying to be hindered by a cult that is very, it's a newer one, late 2000s, it kind of started. And they have been going to college campuses, getting young people, and it has to do with pressure. And, you know, immediately I was just told by another girl who the same cult that she was joining, and praise God, she's not in it.
Thank the Lord.
And she was like, they immediately start telling you, as soon as you start talking with them, your parents are going to be really against this. Your parents are going to tell you not to join. Your parents are going to tell you not to do this. But Jesus said, you know, that the parents will come against you. So you need to be ready for that, you know, rather than just expressing the truth of the gospel. And it was something so sad to me. And I was like, man, it breaks my heart. And praise God, we have a group, and my wife is one of them, Josiah's another one, a group from our young adult that are now at the college campus once a week, going and trying to grab kids to bring them to the gospel.
That's two of my children. Christ.
Yeah, amen, amen. Started by Larry McWilliams, who's somebody you discipled. So spiritual children, so to speak. And so you're looking at these things happening, and you're like, let's make sure that our feet are to the ground. So when we're doing a message, or we're doing an episode on the devil's disciples, we would be absolutely remiss if we didn't say, hey, here's a way that you can actually disciple. And if you're a believer, and Joe, this is what Joe was trying to get across. If you're a believer, it is your job to make disciples.
Amen.
You have been called by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a new creation of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, if you are a new creation, what? A new, brand new creation in Christ. Old things are all passing away. All things are becoming new. And guess what? You now have a job. It says, You've been made an ambassador and a reconciler.
Amen.
That you would cry out to people, come be reconciled to God. And then you need to have that walk that you can say, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
You need to have that walk and have those people. And I love the concept. And I remember this was taught on at a men's retreat years ago. But that simple concept of having three different types of people in your life. And I do the same thing in wrestling practice. I tell guys, hey, this is what we call the Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy method.
That's right. You're one of the three.
And you need to have all three in your life.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to have, if you're a wrestler and you're somebody training, you need to have somebody who can just take it to you.
Yeah,
and
first you start off as a Timothy, right?
Yeah.
A follower.
Yeah, a little different,
but then
Joe.
You graduate.
I'm talking about something a little bit differently.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but you are...
You become all three, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, eventually you become all three. But what you want in your life is having somebody that is teaching you,
Amen.
That is discipling you.
Absolutely.
You also want somebody that may be at your same level, that you guys are growing together at the same rate together, walking
Amen.
Side by side. But then you should also have somebody you're discipling as well.
Right.
And that will be a benefit to your walk. In the same way I've always expressed it, and this is just one of those analogies, you need to have somebody who can take it to you, and maybe you can't get every move on them. Then you need somebody that's pretty equal. You guys get back and forth.
That's right. I remember the analogy. It's a nice analogy.
You need someone you can work with,
yeah.
and that you can say, okay, I can work on my stuff with them and also show them how
right.
to get stuff. And
right.
I think
and
it's
why
important.
I love that analogy, and I think it's so beautiful, is, and I think it's important because when Chad is saying, hey, we all need to be discipling, he's not saying that you're going to be able to be, you know, Timothy and Barnabas and Paul at once necessarily.
Yeah.
But what he is saying, and guess what? You know, Paul was all that, right? He became all, we went through the whole level when you get through that growth. And there's this interesting play in for instance, 1 John 2:12-14, where he addresses those who are babes, those who are born of God, right? And then the young men, the spiritual adolescents, right? That they've overcome the porneron, the evil one, because the word of God dwells in them, right? And then he addresses the fathers. The fathers are those who are birthing people into the kingdom through sharing the word of God with other people. So he addresses all three there, which is quite interesting. But what Chad's talking about, I think, is very important, is the scriptures say, you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 3, many of you, right? Is, you know, we don't all do the same thing necessarily at the same time. And many of us just do one thing well, and hopefully we do one thing at all, right, as Christians. But it talks about that, you know, one person sows the seeds, right? That's people that street witnesses, people that share the gospel, share with their friends, neighbors, in a certain way, the gospel. And then another, you know, another waters, right? And they water the plants that have, they may not bring a bunch of people to Christ, but they're encouraging others to grow in Christ. They're watering. And then there's others that bring do the harvest. But it says it's the Lord that gives the increase. So again, it comes back to him at work in us and through us. That's his heart. The Spirit of God wants to use us. The Spirit and the bride, the scriptures say, come, let whom hears come. So when we, as the bride of Christ, are in sync with the Holy Spirit, we ought to be reaching out to people, you know, and ministering to them and seeking to disciple them in Christ. And it's just beautiful because you'll see a return on that as you sow the seeds. You might not even see a lot of the return on this planet, but the seeds that you have sown will not be in vain. There's weeping. You know, the scriptures say in the evening, the sower weeps, but in the morning, there's joy because there's a harvest. And in the heavenly kingdom, you'll see all kinds of fruit that you bore because you were faithful. And you can't say, man, but how many people have led to Christ? Well, you need to be saying, am I being faithful? Paul says it's required of a servant to remain, to be faithful. That's what we're called to be faithful to Christ. Just make sure you're faithful to Christ.
That is so important. And Joe, it's exciting to be able to encourage people to something that's so important, discipling people through the word of God. And hopefully that's an encouragement to everyone here. But also, all of these things we're talking about, and this is why you guys are here, exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. But something that we've always tried to do is remind you that it doesn't just stop here. And don't get me wrong, we love doing teachings on scripture and so forth. But this ministry fulfills something I think that is awesome and something that is missing so much. Because typically, Joe, if I'm being honest, most of the channels that you might find where people are exposing wickedness, they get off into weird tangents. They get on to weird conspiracies. They don't cross their T's and dot their I's a lot of times.
Don't preach the gospel usually.
And that's the most important thing. They don't preach the gospel. And then you have others that may have some, you know, aptitude when it comes to scripture, but they're just so mean-spirited that they're hard to even listen to. Mm-hmm. Like, man, don't you want them to get saved? I want to see Justin Bieber saved. I want to see Usher saved. I want to see Chidi Jakes repent and Carl Lentz repent and whoever we talk about. And one of the things that we do as a ministry, we typically, almost every time, if we're going to do a show on somebody and talk about somebody, we're going to pray for them. Josh has a whiteboard. He writes their name on there. We pray for them. And but also, guys, it shouldn't stop here. It is great that you can come on here, watch our shows. Obviously, it's a very popular YouTube channel you guys are a part of. But also know that every Sunday, every single Lord's Day, every Wednesday, we have live messages at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Not only can you visit, and it's been great. We've met so many people on there from the channel here that have visited or now are part of the fellowship. But also, you know, just being able to get in a message about the Word of God that is specifically about the Word of God and just exegetically looking through Scripture. I think it's so important for people to see that, you know, and to be able to dig in to the Word of God together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'll put a link in here just to remind you guys. Well, go to Blessed Hope Chapel.
Yeah, I'm kind of tripping out right now because I didn't think about it because we're talking about going full circle and discipleship and what the enemy's doing. That, man, would be a great time to bring in your book, you know, that just came out hot off the press. And I've never done a video, and I wasn't looking for that angle. But when I was on Usher, I'm like, man, the main thing I'd like to get out of this is how these Satanists are discipling others to become purveyors of Satan's kingdom. But it's interesting, Chad, and then we're doing your book of discipleship came out. We thought, isn't this ironic? But it's interesting as well, because you're talking about, you guys should plug in. You should check out our Sunday messages. Check out our Wednesday messages. If you want to, if you're like, man, I really want to get in the Word. I want a pastor that's going to break down the Word and teach it. I thought, isn't it interesting? Because I just did a message. It was part two on the true Super Bowl, the Christian Super Bowl. And I did part one last Sunday. If you didn't check it out, you might want to check that out. A lot of people got blessed. But I did part two last night, Wednesday night Bible study. And guess what it was on, Chad? Because the whole thing was on how Paul uses the analogy of sports. It's his favorite analogy, but how to win the Christian life. And this is how we need to, you know, basically illustrations, but I get into the race. So we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about, you know, how Paul beat his body down, he said, so after he's preached the gospel to others, that he himself would not be rejected by God and so forth. And we actually dissect that. And I thought, oh, it's interesting. What's the chapter on that I wrote?
That's right.
It's all about, you know, running the race to win. I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's the chapter I wrote is basically on the same subject matter. So I thought, well, this whole...
And I'm putting a link into both messages on the description.
Full circle.
So.
Yeah, if you could watch one or the other or both, I think you'll be really blessed. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you look at what we do in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, about Paul says that they, you know, they run, but they're just going to get a perishable wreath. That's the Olympics of those days. They were celebrating the Olympics every 4 years for several hundred years before that, several hundred years after Paul wrote that. And when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, it was an off year. I should say it was off year, but they had the Isthmian Olympics, which were Olympic-esque. They weren't the Greek Olympics, but they were the off, every not every 4 years, but on the off years. And he's using that as an analogy. But it's amazing because we are going after the prize, the eternal crown of life, amen, the crown which is eternal life. And I'm telling you right now, you can go and check out Wesley's message, and you're going to have a hard time finding any commentary that goes in depth the way we do in verse 27 about what it means to get that prize, what that prize is, and what it means to be a dokimos, meaning to be rejected by God, and the conflict that we are in. And I interact with different scholars and their viewpoints, show you where they're wrong, and actually some points where they're actually accurate, and so forth. So we encourage you to check that out, because we're constantly discipling, Chad, and we want to keep discipling you guys as well who have joined our ministry.
Amen. And I've been trying to put all the links there, and I want to do a little bit of homework. But if you guys didn't know, this is exciting because today is the day that the book officially launches, Wrestling with Discipleship. And I'm excited.
Crazy,
we wanted to do a live show together talking about it, but it was so important that we didn't just do an entire live show just on a book, but that we could talk about some of the things that are going on, because these things are really important. And we not only wanted to mention that, but we do want to mention our East Coast Men's Retreat, which is coming up March 24th or 21st to the 24th in Pennsylvania. We would love, if you were anywhere near, or even you're like, hey, I want to travel out there. We've gone and got to the airport, and people are like, oh, I'm coming from Texas. I'm coming from this.
Canada.
All right, hit your ride. Canada. Yeah, our brothers.
Awesome brothers.
Our brothers from Canada. It's so awesome. We would love to meet you. It is a really intimate setting. It is a beautiful, beautiful setting. up there, and us Southern California guys are a little pampered with our weather, a lot pampered with our weather. So it's nice to get a little cold with our brothers up there. I always want to say brothers and sisters because we have gone over there quite a bit, but never when it's too cold. I mean, typically we plan those trips to New York when it's nice and warm, but it would be great if you guys can go there. But Joe, I would be remiss if we did not give them a call to, for maybe somebody just clicking, they're watching this, and maybe they clicked on it because they're like, oh, the Devil's Disciples, that sounds really interesting. Let me see what I got going on there. And now they've made it to the end of this. We've talked about discipleship, but Joe, I think it'd be really important if we also tell them what first they have to do before they can become a disciple.
Yeah, well, I would encourage you, if you want to see more on the Devil's Disciples, just watch a lot of our programs that we just do all the time. We're constantly exposing what the unfruitful deeds of darkness that Satan's doing, probably more than any channel as far as accurately, biblically. Also, you could go to our goodfight.org site, and you can watch our three-hour version. We have a 10-hour version as well. You can watch our three-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and we see it out of their own mouths. You see the occult history of popular music, which will blow you away. But if you're not a Christian and you're checking this out, you're like, man, I know there's darkness. I know there's spiritual darkness. I know what the Bible says and how things would get worse in the end times is happening. And I'm concerned about my soul. I need to be right with God. Well, you're right, you know, because the scriptures make it really clear that you and I and all of us have fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The scriptures say that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. Because compared to other people, you might smell good, seem good, but compared to God, we stink, man. And we stink to high heaven, and we deserve God's wrath because we have fallen wicked natures, and we're depraved, we're separated from God. The wrath of God is upon us, and we shall not escape his wrath if we don't get forgiven, if we don't receive his mercy. But the good news, man, is that God is good, and that he's given of himself. God became a man, and he provided for your salvation so you don't have to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, but many humans are being drawn there in rebellion to God. But if you recognize and you're honest, you say, yep, I know I'm a sinner, and I confess my sin. If you recognize you're a sinner and you confess your sin, the Greek word confess is homologeo, and the Greek word homo means same, like homosexual, same sex, but it's not homosexual, it's homologeo. It means same, sane, sayings, statements, words. Legeo is a message. You're homo legeo, meaning you're saying you agree with God's message that you're a sinner and that you need forgiveness. And you recognize that you're a sinner, that you've sinned against God, you've lied, you've cheated, you've been sexually immoral, you've taken something that didn't belong to you, you've used God's name in vain, you've put things before God. Nobody can say they've never put anything before God. That's idolatry. We've committed some sins, but all of us, many sins. If you recognize that, and then you recognize that God in his goodness so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you recognize that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty of God's wrath that you and I deserve. And so you could be spared, so you could be forgiven. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you say, I believe Jesus died in my place. I recognize that he is the Son of God that was prophesied to come. And I turn from my sin. I turn from my darkness. The first step of discipleship is turning to Christ, to put your faith in him, right? And when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn from darkness, that's repentance, to Christ. You put your faith in Christ and what he did for you on the cross, his finished work. The Bible says you'll pass from death to life and you will not come into condemnation. You'll be saved at that very moment, man. The Bible says as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Embrace Jesus Christ now as your Lord and Savior. You'll become a child of God. And then as you continue to pursue him in faith, that's the path of discipleship. So a true believer who puts faith in Christ, that's the beginning of your discipleship. And that begins, as Chad said, hey, explain to him how that begins. It begins by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus, man. And then you begin to follow him every day. And Jesus says, you're going to follow him, right? Be his disciple. You must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily. It means like Jesus died on the cross for you. You can't die for anybody's sins, but you can say, hey, no longer my will, but your will, God. And you must, as he says, follow me. So we encourage you to become followers of Christ right now. In the very moment you turn to Jesus, you'll be saved. Your name will be written in heaven. Amen. And when you die, you'll pass and be with him. Or if he comes back before you die, you'll be caught up to meet him in the air and you'll be transformed and receive a resurrected body. I want to keep going, Chad, because I'm a preacher, but I'll stop right there.
Amen. We want to thank you guys. And just as a couple of other things, there are people that were asking how to support and so forth. You can support through our Patreon page if you'd like. That's actually how we ended up being able to hire two different editors full-time, as well as another part-time aide as well. And you can go to patreon.com/goodfight. And also, we also want to remind you that for, we just talked about making sure you're in fellowship and so forth. We do have live stream groups that are still meeting right now. And some of those groups, one of them is building a big giant barn in the San Antonio area. It's called Bulverde, Texas. You can go to blessedhopetexas.org and check that out. And we also have a church with Pastor Nick Paneri in Idaho that's called Treasure Valley, Blessed Hope. Chapel Treasure Valley. You guys can check that out as well as Mexico and Costa Rica. But you can check all this out at blessedhopechapel.org. But alongside Pastor Joe and myself, I want to thank you guys. And if you wanted to check out the book, you can go to wrestlingwithdiscipleship.com, or you can simply go to goodfight.org, or even just go on Amazon and type in Wrestling with Discipleship.
And leave a 5-star review for Chad, you know, his book, because that'll help more people get in their hands.
Amen. Love you guys. Thank you guys so much. God bless you
guys. Love you guys.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.